Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Young footballers around the world dream of following in their heroes' footsteps and going to Europe to play for top teams like Barcelona. A group of mainly African migrants has taken a first step. With the help of a sympathetic coach, they have formed their own team in the Spanish leagues. The club offers far more than a weekend of soccer practice for the young men, many of whom have risked their lives to reach Spanish shores. Henry Ridgewell reports from Jerez, Spain.
Sunday morning in the suburbs of Jerez, and two local teams are battling relegation. The third tier of the Andalusian League may not attract many spectators, but for the players of Alma de Africa, football means family. The team, whose name means Soul of Africa, is made up of migrants plus a few locals to help integrate the newcomers. In the shadow of the elaborate Jerez de la Frontera railway station, the players enjoy a post-match coffee. Among them is Modu Ndiaye, who left his home in Senegal 2 years ago. Ndiaye says he and others took a boat from Senegal to the island of Tenerife and that the journey took 10 days. He says it was really hard and everyone thought the group wouldn't make it. He says they ran out of drinking water and suffered a lot. Thanks to God, he says, they reached their destination. Ndiaye's teammate, Bashir Aldaf, arrived in Jerez just 2 months ago. Aldaf says he was a footballer in his country, and on the day he arrived in Spain, asked around for a team to play with. Aldaf says he went to Jerez Football Club for 2 weeks, but the coach told him he couldn't play because he lacked the right papers. Aldaf says the coach told him to go and find Alma de Africa. Alma de Africa was born 3 years ago when locals spotted a group of migrants playing football in a park. The players would often argue, so the locals found a referee and in stepped Alejandro Benitez. On the pitch, Benitez saw talent. Off it, he recognised deep vulnerability. So he set up a team and persuaded the Spanish football leagues to let them play. He says they started from nothing and invested their own money, adding that every year, however, the team has to start from scratch. Benitez appears to be a father figure for many of the players. His role as president extends well beyond the club. Benitez says at the end of the match, we cannot let them go back to their old way of living, selling stuff at traffic signals, washing cars. He says they need more than footballs. He says they need apartments to avoid living on the streets and classes so they can learn the language more quickly. He says they need support to get them into the labour market, to show that diversity is not negative but positive. Claiming asylum and getting the right legal papers can take years. Finding steady work is all but impossible. Despite the support of the club, Aldaf is finding it tough. He says that before, he believed life would be better in Spain, but it's very difficult without a job. Alma de Africa supports a handful of the tens of thousands of migrants arriving every year in Spain. It also aims to change attitudes through a shared passion. On the pitch, the team is struggling. The bigger challenge is to find the money to keep this football family moving forward. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, Jerez, Spain.
Thanks, Henry. I enjoyed your report. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African club football, Morocco's Raja Casablanca is in very good position to lift the CAF Confederation Cup trophy on December 2nd in Kinshasa, the capital of the Democratic Republic of Congo. That's where Raja will play the Congolese side, AS Vita Club, in the decisive second leg of the Confederation Cup final. In front of a packed capacity crowd of 65,000 on Sunday, Raja won the first leg in Casablanca 3-0. Those three goals came within a 19-minute span in the second half. Soufiane Rahimi scored two of the goals, and Mahmoud Benhalib got the third on a penalty kick in the 66th minute. Now, it was Benhalib's 12th goal of the Confederation Cup campaign. He's the competition's top scorer. If Raja lifts the trophy in Kinshasa, the Spaniard Juan Carlos Garrido will put his name in the record books as the first coach to win the Confederation Cup with two clubs. Garrido guided Al Ahly of Egypt to the 2014 title. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. An update now on the Major League Soccer playoffs taking place here in the United States. In the MLS Eastern Conference Final, Atlanta United FC has a 3-0 lead over the New York Red Bulls. And in the MLS Western Conference Final, Sporting Kansas City and the Portland Timbers are even after a scoreless draw in the first leg. The second leg matches in both series will be played Thursday night in Kansas City, Kansas, and near New York City, respectively. And the winners of both series will advance to the MLS Cup Final on December 8th. Atlanta United FC kicked off its inaugural MLS season in 2017, and it's quickly proven to be the league's best-supported club. On Sunday, a crowd of more than 70,000 watched the team's 3-0 victory over the New York Red Bulls at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. Just ahead, VOA's Gwen Uten will preview the World Heavyweight Championship fight on December 1st between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. VOA! I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. World Boxing Council heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder of the USA will defend his title Saturday against Tyson Fury of Britain in Los Angeles, California. Joining us now with a preview is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The two heavyweights are set to rumble on the 1st of December, but that hasn't stopped them from trading verbal spars months before the match.
I'm ready to go now.
You feel like the real thing
right
now.
I'm ready now.
You feel like the real thing right now.
Look, 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 look.
It feels like a real thing
ready.
Right now.
Hey, ready.
I'm ready, too.
Well, let's go then. Let's pull the fight forward.
You are so nervous, bro.
Woo!
But you should be because you're dealing with the killer of the heavyweight division.
I've seen plenty
you're
of
dealing
killers.
With the baddest man
I'm
on
not
the
looking
planet.
At one of you.
You're dealing with one that would knock
back
you
up.
Out in
you're
one
looking
point.
At Spartan,
and I can't
man.
Wait. Spartan. When I look over your body, I'm not going to have no mercy for you.
That was Wilder and Fury talking trash at a press conference back in October, and according to Tyson Fury, he was the clear winner.
Listen, I controlled everything. He did what I told him, and he fell into my plan. And everything I wanted to start and finish, I did. And he just carried along as he would.
Well, Fury can take all the wins he can get. 2 years ago, the former world champion voluntarily vacated his heavyweight titles to focus on medical issues and was suspended from the sport due to allegations of drug abuse. Fury didn't step foot in the ring until sanctions were lifted earlier this year. And since his return, Fury has extended his record to 27 wins without a single loss. His upcoming opponent, reigning WBC champion Deontay Wilder, also boasts an unblemished record with 40 career wins, 39 of them via knockout. The upcoming event is a hugely anticipated battle between the undefeated heavyweights. And Wilder says if you're not excited, you might need your head examined.
This is the biggest fight in the world right now. If you don't, man, if anybody's not interested in this fight, they're crazy. They're not boxing fans at all. You know, I'm excited about this fight so much. Like, I am taking this seriously. I'm taking Tyson Fury as if he was the champion on the challenger.
Fury and Wilder both hope a victory will set them up to challenge Anthony Joshua next year. Joshua is the reigning WBA, WBO, and IBF champion. And with the goal of becoming the undisputed champion, Joshua says his sights are set on reigning WBC champion Deontay Wilder.
I need Wilder to win, and that way it gives me more of an opportunity to fight him, because as a champion, if he retains his belt, I think that's the fight that people have been yearning for. So 2019, hopefully, is a big year for me.
So which will it be, the athletic and powerful Deontay Wilder or the 6'9" technician Tyson Fury? A first-time defeat and a tarnished record are on the line. Later this week, Sonny will break it all down with Namdi Moeta. So stay tuned. And that's all from me for now. Sonny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And yes, I'm looking forward to Namdi Hollywood Moeta breaking down Wilder Fury. It should be a good one. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. This evening, we bring you the second and final part of an interview the energetic Andy Edwards did with Diane Vaughn. Diane is a member of the Council for Responsible Sport, an organization that promotes social, economic, and environmental sustainability in sports. And Diane also has a connection with a former world champion marathon runner from Kenya. Here's Andy.
The marathon world takes you into all sorts of places and meeting all sorts of people. And I've been having a conversation with Diane Vaughan, who's from Nashville in Tennessee in the USA, who is here in Athens for the Ames Congress and indeed watching the Athens Marathon, because she's a member of the Council for Responsible Sport, but she has interests far flung. And in conversation before we did one interview, she told me that she is in regular touch with Douglas Wakihuri. Now, a bit of marathon history lesson. In 1987, Douglas Wakihuri became world champion in the marathon. He was, at the time, well, trying to draw an analogy, he was like the Eliud Kipchoge of his time. And a very distinctive guy. He, like quite a few Kenyans and other Africans, he'd gone to Japan, got involved in there and become a star there, and that's where he became internationally prominent. Interesting character. But Diane knows him much more and what Douglas has been doing since in his life. So tell us, what is Douglas Wakihuri up to now, Diane?
Douglas actually has a lot of passion for helping people. His first passion is working with a school and a slum neighborhood of, it's Kibera in Nairobi. He works with the runners, soccer players, any athlete, to help them excel. But he also works just with the children to teach them. It's an education process. He knows if he can expose them by way of sport to a different lifestyle, to other things that they can see beyond where they live. They can see the possibilities that they might have if they pick a sport or if they get an education. What could happen that would change their life and bring them out of a slum?
And what struck me when you first told me about this is, okay, some of them, one or two, may go on to show that they've got great talent. But this is firmly about finding a discipline. In Douglas Wakihuri's case, it's saying running, to help you give a kind of base grounding for life. It's not search for a star. It's saying, I'm trying to give you something which will help you through daily life and help you develop in what, yes, I think a lot of people around the world have heard of the Kibera area, are very tough conditions.
Yes, and I think if there's a person in Kenya that can go in and make a difference, it's somebody with a heart and with a passion, and I think he has that. He's also got some more projects on the list. He's also on the board for Special Olympics, so he handles that hat too. He is currently looking for funding for possibly archery and some land to build a space for archery and other sports, but to just expose kids to something else other than where they're confined to a life that is not as good as they could have, some opportunities.
That is fascinating because, okay, as outsiders, one thinks, yeah, Kenya running, that is the way out, as boxing was, probably still is in some countries, but all, historically, boxing was, you don't go around getting punched in the head unless you're going to earn money. You know, there's the difference between amateur and pro boxing. And clearly, in East Africa, running is the way out. If you survive that Darwinian process and you are good enough and you make a different, big difference for your family. So you mentioned funding. Yes, I was going to ask, is Douglas doing this because he's become a millionaire from business interests, or does he have to go around saying, please help support what I'm doing with the kids in Kibera or looking for this archery project?
Yes, it is always finding support. It is always finding support. And I think with Douglas, he has a passion for many things. And he can call in a lot of Olympians and a lot of world-class runners anytime he has a race because they respect him and because he is about helping Kenya. He is about helping Kenya. And it's also about helping former Olympians find a life after being an Olympian. And what happens when you come home or you are injured and you can't race anymore?
That's a very interesting point, which I think many people assume someone stood on that podium with a medal around their neck, and that means that in future that life is easy and has no more problems. And I think, dare I say, looking at African society, there are extended families who all have expectations and assume that you are rich and you are the benefactor for that family. And I can see, you know, the prize money from Athens or Frankfurt or Berlin, etc., depending on how big or small it is, that all goes into a pot. It's not just going to one person who crosses the finish line. So do you sense from Douglas that some former elite performers do have problems adjusting?
I think he wants to make sure that these people who have committed their life to earning a gold medal for their country or you know, raising the bar for sport in their country, also have an opportunity for making a livelihood afterward. That these are not just nobody gets a one shot and it's for life. This is not a $1 million prize, but it is a way to change. If you can help them find education, if you can help them find skills that are other than what they got their medal in, because you might not be able to make a living forever at that.
Well, very true, and that's not only true in East Africa, but in a lot of other places. Diane Vaughan, a member for the Council of Responsible Sport, but also giving us a really interesting insight into one very special Kenyan, I think, although it's 31 years since I met him, Douglas Wakahuri, and the work he's doing post his elite career. Diane, thanks very much.
Thank you so much, Andy. Appreciate it.
And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for that interview with Diane Vaughan in Athens, Greece.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America, they're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association action Monday night, the defending champion Golden State Warriors rallied to beat the visiting Orlando Magic by 6 points. The AP's Ryan Leong reports from Oakland, California.
Kevin Durant poured in a season-high 49 points as the Warriors came back down 18 to beat the Magic 116-110. Golden State used a 19-5 run in the third quarter to get within 4 points. Klay Thompson scored 19 of his 29 points in the fourth quarter.
It feels good, you know, ending the homestand with 3 straight wins, especially when we got a very tough East Coast trip coming up.
Despite the absence of Stephen Curry and Draymond Green, Golden State has now won 3 straight after ending a 4-game losing streak. The Magic have lost 11 straight to the Warriors and haven't beaten them in nearly 6 years. Nikola Vucevic had 30 points and Terrence Ross added 28 off the bench. Ryan Leong, Oakland.
Thanks, Ryan. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Here in Washington, my favorite NBA team, the Washington Wizards, wave their wands and defuse the Houston Rockets 135-131 in overtime. Lots of scoring here in Washington. The Wizards survived a 54-point, 13-assist performance by Rockets guard James Harden, the league's reigning most valuable player. Star guard John Wall led the Wizards with 36 points and 11 assists, while his backcourt partner Bradley Beal had 32 points. The Wizards limited the Rockets to 2 field goals in the overtime period, and they also forced 19 turnovers, including 11 by Harden. It was Washington's 8th win of the season against 12 losses. The Rockets, meanwhile, now have 9 victories and 10 defeats. In other NBA results Monday night, the Boston Celtics scored a 124-107 road victory over the New Orleans Pelicans. Kyrie Irving had 26 points and 10 assists for the Celtics, while New Orleans big man Anthony Davis finished with 27 points, 16 rebounds, and 3 blocked shots. The San Antonio Spurs also won on the road, edging the Chicago Bulls 108-107. Another NBA big man, LaMarcus Aldridge, scored 11 of his 20 points in the fourth quarter for the Spurs. In 3 more NBA results, the Minnesota Timberwolves topped the host Cleveland Cavaliers 102-95. The Charlotte Hornets stung the visiting Milwaukee Bucks 110-107. And the Indiana Pacers rolled to an easy victory in Salt Lake City, where they beat the host Utah Jazz 121-88. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, Novak Djokovic of Serbia and Simona Halep of Romania are ending 2018 as the world's top-ranked men's and women's players. Ladies first, Halep finished the season as #1 in the WTA rankings for the 2nd consecutive year. Angelique Kerber of Germany was #2, followed by Caroline Wozniacki of Denmark, Elena Svitolina of Ukraine, and Naomi Osaka of Japan. On the men's side, Djokovic is #1, followed by Rafael Nadal of Spain at #2, and Roger Federer of Switzerland at #3. This is the first time each of those longtime rivals spent some time at #1 during the year. In fact, there were 7 changes at the top in 2018, the most changes since 1999, when there were 8. Novak Djokovic won Wimbledon and the U.S. Open this year. Roger Federer took the Australian Open, and Rafael Nadal earned the title at the French Open. For Djokovic, it marks the 5th time he's closed the year in the top spot. Only the now-retired Pete Sampras, with 6 year-end #1 finishes, did it more often. And that wraps up the November 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, general elections are coming up in the Democratic Republic of Congo on December 23rd to determine a successor to President Joseph Kabila. An in-depth discussion on what's at stake in DRC's elections on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA's new Mars lander, the interior exploration using seismic investigations, geodesy, and heat transport, or InSight, touched down safely on the red planet on November 26th at 1952 Universal Time. InSight Mission Control at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory announced the touchdown.
Touchdown confirmed. InSight is on the surface of Mars.
The spacecraft, launched on May 5, 2018, survived a nearly seven-month, 485 million kilometer journey through space and a perilous seven-minute landing procedure. InSight will be the space agency's first mission that will be devoted to exploring the interior structure of Mars. Scientists hope that InSight will provide some evidence about the formation and evolution of all rocky planets, including Earth. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Oh.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.